You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You feel this nervousness on the phone there?
Sir, I've been trying to make an urgent phone call up there.
Well, I don't think it's something I want to do on an overseas phone.
You gotta make some phone calls. Hang up the phone. Prank caller.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Packernet After Dark. This is the call-in show of the Packernet Podcast Network. If you'd like to call in, if you'd like to participate in the show, please feel free to do so. Stupid yawning. The phone number here is 608-501-0718. New callers go directly to the front of the line. We don't have any new callers today. And if you're curious about the FOGO competition, it looks like we have a three-way tie. So we may have to figure out exactly how to rectify that situation. So I'm sorry to say I don't have an answer at this exact moment. It's very late. We'll figure it out tomorrow. But I figure since we missed some of the Packernet After Dark stuff, we'll go through it. Obviously, you know, we're going to have some day one, day two, day three lag here. But that's all right. We'll get some live reactions to the mock as it happens. Etc. But with that said, why don't we get started with Pedro?
Hey, Ryan. What's up? It's Pedro the Red from the...
What's up?
So it's like midnight or something, and I was up for the one more time. Good did his thing and surprised everybody. Yep. I'm not going to say I'm happy with the pick, but I know better than Question Dude. He proved me wrong and him right like several times right now. So yeah, and just trust the guy. But I'm calling to say that about 2 months ago, you did a podcast where you meet a robot mate pick for you and as a Packer GM, and he picked Jordan Morgan on the first round. So
wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad you guys remember that stuff.
Don't know if you remember if you had somewhere here there in the computer.
I can find
the other pick that he made, but I'm pretty sure Good is using a robot or he's hacking his computer or something. So yeah. Oh no, one more thing. About what Good did, I was thinking, a lot of offensive players going in the first round, a lot of corners falling out. So I think he's probably thinking about trading up in the beginning of the second round or even in the first round. So let's see. Probably a lot of corners that he wasn't expecting to fell. So he's confident that he's going to still get out a pretty good DB. But yeah, I can't say I'm surprised. I'm not surprised. So talk to you soon.
Yeah, so now that we know that corners, basically we just didn't draft any, no offense to the corner that we drafted as almost Mr. Irrelevant, but Gutekunst really didn't draft any corners. And so it's kind of, it's one of two things in my mind. Either number one, which it seems like most people are assuming, Gutekunst just loves our corners and didn't want to touch any. Or number two, he didn't like any of the corners that were available. In other words, you know, he would have taken XYZ corner, but they didn't make it. And so, yes, there were corners on the board like Cooper DeJean, but he wasn't interested in them. I don't know which, but very, very odd. And you'd have to think if Gutekunst wanted corners, he would have gotten some corners. There was ample opportunity. He could have traded up and gotten a guys like Terry and Arnold, you know, he really was very close to within striking distance. Maybe he didn't like him that much, but he kind of liked him if he would have fallen, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But at the end of the day, I genuinely believe if there was any amount of panic, we would have come away with multiple corners and not just the last pick of the last round. That would not have happened if there was panic. So I think there's some level of comfort there. Not to say they love the situation, but some level of comfort. On top of that, we got to consider the possibility that they're strongly considering Bullard as a slot corner. So they feel as though they've gotten two corners in this draft. One of them they like a good amount in Bullard. And then, you know, hopefully you have Stokes back healthy and playing better. If not, you feel relatively good about Valentine. I borderline, even though this is probably untrue, but I borderline feel similar about Valentine as I do Rashid Walker in terms of, like, it's fine. It seems like it's working, but I don't know if this is how I want it to be necessarily. Maybe that's a little unfair to Rashid, but it's something to that effect.
Ryan, what's up? It's Kyle from Madison. How are you, man? Happy draft day. The Packers just took Morgan. I'm not 100% sure they're done for the day. They might. They probably are. But it's still possible. There's a lot of guys. I wouldn't be shocked if they traded in like around 30 or something and grabbed somebody else. Your boy Kyle nailed that one on our Brazilian Steakhouse contest. So we got a long way to go. But I did get Morgan. I thought they were going to trade down, though. I thought it was going to be like trade down from 25 to 30, pick up a second, a third, something like, I don't know, a couple picks and then take them there. But I was just listening to Belichick on McAfee, though, and he was just saying, like, there's no way that Morgan was getting out of the first. And so if you like him, just take him there. That's a good pick. He liked the pick, too. So when I decided that's who I thought they were going to take. I don't know that was my favorite pick, but it just seems like totally what they're going to do. It was a little shock to the system, though, having Arnold and Mitchell that close. Freaking Detroit. I wonder, though, if Detroit hadn't taken Arnold, like, would we have taken him? We'd probably still take Morgan, but.
Right, I agree.
Anyway, exciting. Hopefully I can. See, I made a mistake in telling my wife about the contest that we're having, so now, you know, she's expecting that I win this thing, so. Maybe I need to call Gutekunst and give him my list. Just let him know, you know, how much skin I got in the game here. But I love him. I really do like the Morgan pick, though. I love that he's really quite a balanced run. I mean, he's better at pass protection, but he is quite a good run blocker. And I thought his highlights were really fun, and I'm going to watch him again tonight. So left tackle competition is on. There's still a ton of great players, though. I mean, there is going to be – I would love to see us trade, like, into that first five picks in the second. There's going to be a ton of players available there. Maybe back into the first year. We'll see. Anyway, talk to you.
And, again, the real surprise is just the overall lack of interest. I mean, I genuinely thought it was just going to go boom, boom. Like, Kool-Aid's gone. Jerzon's gone. Cooper's gone. Like, 1, 2, 3. And – it kind of took a little bit, and again, the Packers traded back. They're just like, nah, screw it. I'm not interested. You know, it is interesting hearing, you know, not that Brian Gutekunst would say anything bad, but, you know, just talking about Cooper DeJean and just kind of glowing about, you know, how good he is, you know, and obviously he would have taken him at some point, but he just wasn't really interested at that point. And you know, it's probably one of those things where Cooper was maybe on the same tier as, for example, Edgerrin Cooper, who we took, and maybe a few other people, and that's why they traded back. And if it had gone Edgerrin and then somebody else and then whoever, then we would have taken Cooper. But he was, in other words, at best, he was in that pile with Edgerrin Cooper. I can't imagine he'd be in a lower tier, but maybe. I don't know. But that's just kind of how it fell. We did it last year, and it worked out perfectly, right? That was with Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed was in a pile. And so Goot's like, well, we got a big pile here. Let's go ahead and trade back and see who falls to us because they're all kind of on a similar tier. And Jaden was the one left, and they ended up taking him. And it sounds like it was almost that way with Jordan Morgan also. Gutekunst was talking about how they had considered trading back there. They must have had a pile of guys that they liked. And to be completely fair, it's not impossible that Jordan Morgan, Cooper DeJean, and Edgerrin Cooper were on the same tier. It would be unlikely, but it is possible. And that's just kind of how it fell. But, in that case, there's a good chance they would have traded up because you'd be real worried unless there's just that many guys on that tier. But they had talked about, you know, maybe we trade back. We got a couple guys that we like, but Gutekunst is like, I don't want to screw around. You know, it's just they like Jordan Morgan that much where it's like technically they're on the same tier, but I just can't stomach losing this guy. We got to go get him. So, and I love to hear that too, because it kind of flies in the face of some of, you know, not only some of the narrative, but some of just the internal fears that all of us have about, you know, maybe this is just what was left over. Maybe this is just, you know, aw shucks, they took Terry and Arnold. Let's just throw something at the wall here. It's like, you know, plus it's a first round pick. They love the guys that they picked in the fifth round. You think they don't like Jordan Morgan? I mean, come on. They love Jordan Morgan. Very obviously was one of their top prospects. That's why he was their first pick. Top 25 at least. So, yeah, I mean, it seems to me as though, again, not that they didn't necessarily like the corners, but just that maybe they weren't a notch above the other guys, kind of like we thought. You know, in other words, Cooper was actually probably below, in other words, more of a second round type. And then, you know, maybe Terry and Arnold was kind of on that same tier, maybe a tier above, possibly. Again, he got sniped, but you got Terry and Arnold and some of these other guys kind of on a similar tier. So, in other words, maybe we just slightly overrated the corners compared to where Gutekunst had them. And not just Gutekunst. Again, they all fell. Quinion fell. Arnold fell. Kool-Aid fell. Cooper fell. So, we absolutely overrated the corners. That's sort of the bottom line here.
Hey, Ryan. Daniel from California.
Hey.
Yeah, I called it with the direction, right? Because I said the Andre Dillard signing is a telegraph, right? So they're going to set the floor with somebody that's like a DC level guy as like, all right, well, this is our stopgap. Okay, the guy we want, the high upside developmental guy, he can't contribute. We got the guy that could be the stopgap, right? So pretty really happy with Jordan Morgan, but... Yeah, it's just one of those things that sometimes it's hard to get excited about a Packer first-round pick.
Right.
I'm excited. I like the guy. He's a good character guy. Really.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to kind of... Again, I think for most of us, there's a process of kind of... how do you phrase it? Decoupling from the game that we play. Because there's nothing at all wrong with... If we just forget everything we know about these names and these prospects... And you look at the athleticism, you look at the versatility, you look at the positional value, you look at everything else. This is a fantastic pick. None of us ever had an issue with drafting, like, Fashanu if he was there, right? I'm not saying he's as good as Fashanu. I'm just saying. We would all been very excited about that. So, it's just because we didn't really talk about this guy. Had we done it, had we really... Over the last, I'd say, week or 2 weeks or whatever, like, you know who would be a great pick? And we go over the film and we start talking. We would have been jacked about the pick. So there's kind of a process of, like, okay, that's not a super familiar name. I know the name, but not somebody we talk about a lot. Certainly not, you know, mocked a lot or any of that kind of stuff. Occasionally, obviously, but not a ton. But let's take a step back. Let's assess what just happened, right? And let's... Because the other thing that we do is, because I don't have this strong association with this pick, that means the player must not be very good, right? He's a quote-unquote reach, which is so absurd because by most metrics, it was a reach by about 5 picks or something. Just the most insane thing in the world to be upset about when the margin of error has got to be like 15 picks at least. I mean, especially that early. Later, it probably widens quite a bit. It could be up to 100 picks. But I think that, and that's why most of us, we go through the process of, you know, sleeping on it. There's that initial crushing disappointment of, oh, that's not the name I wanted to hear. And then some of us, you know, you pump the brakes immediately, like before you spiral. Some people can't do that. They just spiral. They just let it happen, man. They're just riding the roller coaster. They throw their hands up and they just let the emotional roller coaster take over. For most of us, though, we've been through that. We've looked like idiots screaming and crying about picks that end up being great. And we realize, okay, there's a disconnect between reality and what I've been doing these last couple weeks and months. So pump the brakes, slow down, talk it through, walk it through, talk to other Packer fans, think it through. and you end up on pretty solid ground.
He's really athletic and just fits the standard Packer profile. Basically the left guard or left tackle version of Brian Bulaga, right? So if they see where he ends up, we won't know until training camp, but figure it out. The more important thing about this draft class was, or this first round, is it shows a commitment to long-term success within the NFC North. From what I've seen, I do not expect the Lions, the Bears, and the Vikings to be long-term competitive like the Packers. And there's a simple reason for that. The Bears, they have an opportunity to trade down a few spots to get a couple picks because they have a decent starting roster, right? But they got no depth. That's the problem. They have no depth. They have no guys they're developing to replace the talent they have, right? The Vikings, they have no depth. They have barely starters.
Yeah, they're trading away
their picks. They trade away half their picks from this year. You know, to get two guys. And yes, they're two high-floor guys. But where's your depth? The Lions, how did you get here? You got picks for Stafford, and you developed your team. You built this amazing roster that has lots of depth everywhere, and you really filled all your holes. And yes, free agency, the draft, the last few years, you've done this, so you're trying to get over the hump. You're trying to get your Super Bowl. But you're trading away your picks. That's not long-term success. Yes, the Packers do that occasionally where they trade up and they give away their picks. The problem is we still walk away with the draft with 11 to 12, 13 picks every time. We're not trading away stuff and then we're not trading away and just not replacing. We're trading away later, trading down to replenish, right? So I don't know. Long-term success, Packers win. Go Pack, go.
I love trash in the NFC North. Obviously, the Packers are on a great track. I mean, Detroit has got a football team. It may not be as promising on the long-term track as far as the ceiling, because the Packers' ceiling is stupid right now. The fact that they were knocking on the door of the Super Bowl in like their first little practice run is pretty ridiculous. But the Lions have a good football team, and I think they were missing a lot. So they also have quite a bit of room to grow. I plan on talking unbelievable amounts of crap about the Chicago Bears, but if I may very briefly, you know, just say the obvious, if Caleb and Odunze and Keenan Allen and that crew can frickin' just be what Bears fans are just assuming is going to happen, I mean, it's going to be a scary football team. You know, they're still missing a lot of pieces. I don't think they're a Super Bowl caliber team. You know, look at C.J. Stroud. He was one of the better quarterbacks in football as a rookie, and they didn't go to the Super Bowl, right? It's a very difficult thing that requires really good coaching, really good play calling, really good offense and defense, really good. I mean, you've got to have all your crap together if you want to make it to that level. But, you know, could they possibly be the best team in the North? It'd be really tough, even if Caleb and Odunze pan out, which, I mean, Odunze is... Whatever. It's going to be very hard for him to step in year one and be the top guy. Maybe number two, but even that is going to be extremely hard. I guess it kind of comes down to what Caleb, who he wants to throw to, but, you know, they still don't really have a great offensive line. They don't really have stud running backs. Their tight end is okay. Their defense is missing a ton. They have one pass rusher, and he's not even a premier pass rusher. He's just a pretty good pass rusher. Defensive line needs a ton of help, et cetera, right? Linebackers, we'll see. You know, they lost a safety, added a safety. Their corner, their top corner is going to see regression, whether they want to acknowledge that or not. But there's a chance they could be kind of something. But you're right in the sense that best case scenario, they figured out like one thing. Because wide receiver is already okay, so they got quarterback. Wide receiver was already okay. The tackle the GM already said is not going to start, and then they got a freaking punter. Congratulations. But I guess the bottom line is that doesn't mean it's time to rest on your laurels. It's going to be a dogfight, and you know, if the Packers are going to be on top, they got to really work and really grind, and we're going to need help from from these last several draft classes. We're going to need to see growth. We need to see Wyatt take a step. We need to see Quay take a step. We got to see these second-year guys at the very least maintain, if not also, again, take a step. And then this class. You know, the Packers like to draft mostly to develop. In other words, they don't mind sort of redshirt. And even if you're starting, we understand it's going to take some time. But if we're talking Super Bowl, it would be really great to see Jordan Morgan step up as an offensive lineman. You know, Edger and Cooper would make a big difference. The safeties, that's make or break. We've got, half of our new pieces this year are safeties. I mean, not literally, but probably half of our defensive pieces that are new. You know, when you include Xavier McKinney, Javon Bullard, Ketan Oladapo, is it Williams? We've got four new safeties, dude. That's a big deal. And it makes a big difference whether or not that's just a giant swing and a miss, or we got some real stud safeties slash, you know, slot corner, however that pans out. But anyways, why don't we take a break? We'll come back and we'll hear a little bit more from Pedro, the redhead from Brazil. In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We get all hyped up thinking we're going to get some high-value Jordan Love card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view on all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now when I buy Slab Packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. And honestly, the best thing for me and my son is the fact that we're kind of novices into this. When I walk into a card shop with my son, and a card says it costs $40, kind of just taking his word for it that that's a good value. So I appreciate the transparency on grading, as well as just getting excited about seeing what you could potentially get. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/packdaddy. Wow, that's crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's $40 right there. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/packdaddy for 10% off your first purchase. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, Ryan, it's me, Pedro, the Red from Brazil.
What's up, man?
So, last night, first round of the draft with Pat Brady. We all knew what was coming. We all knew we would get surprised by you.
Yep.
And to be honest, I was higher on Barton than Morgan, so yeah.
Yeah.
But that pick tells me that...
I think, you know, there's an interesting clip. I'll try to remember to play it in the coming days. But PFF was kind of going over and reviewing it, and one of the guys said almost exactly what you're saying. You know, I liked Barton. I didn't really, whatever. And then the other guy said, well, I mean, you know, Morgan is the better true tackle. And the other guy's like, well, definitely. Yeah, for sure. And so he's like, well, if you wanted a better true tackle, who would you rather have? Oh, well, then in that case, Morgan, you know. In other words, which also kind of helped push me toward this thing of him being a true tackle. Not that the Packers necessarily disagree or agree with the assessment. But the idea is if you're looking for a versatile guy that you're probably going to play at guard or center, Graham Barton is your guy. If you want a true tackle, Jordan Morgan's that dude. And he might have been the last true tackle to be taken in terms of like this guy probably is going to start and be a starting left tackle in the NFL. Not to say he will be, but I mean, there's kind of a line at or near our pick at tackle.
Probably Morgan will play tackle.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe he would be a better guard than Barton. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm probably wrong, actually. But yeah, I do think after a huge interview when he said that Morgan could play four positions, that maybe he put him at tackle and kicks that come tied, or I don't know. I think we will shuffle a lot the offensive line too. I'll just trust the guy. He knows what he's doing. And yeah, sure. Talking about today, day two of the draft, I do expect the Packers to move up in the second round like they did when they drafted Christian Watson. I don't know if they're going to really the top of the draft, but we still have pretty good players, especially on the defensive side. We have Coley McKinstry on the board. We have Jason Newton. And I do believe there's one more that I'm missing here right now, but I do know we have like three players that are pretty good, even more actually. So yeah, I do think that at some point we'll trade up. And yeah, let's see. My guy, my two favorite corners right now are probably Khalid McKinstry and Kim Hart.
Yeah.
So I do expect we draft one of them today. Yeah. So, go back, go. Let's get our heart crushes one more time today. Okay, talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Well, that definitely happened. I mean, Hart fell quite a bit. I was holding out hope for quite a while, almost every round until he got drafted. I was hoping we'd end up getting Hart. There is a point for me, though, where when these guys fall far enough, it's like, I don't know if I want them anymore. I mean, that was several people where, you know, I want them predicated on the idea that they're solid football players. And then you get into the sixth round, the seventh round, and it's like, I mean, I want them, but I mean, kind of. I don't know. Like, do I want them? No idea anymore. But yeah, I again with the corners, man, it was a very weird thing. I think we were all kind of sitting and waiting for it, and it just didn't happen. A lot of people popped up really upset about not getting a wide receiver, which I don't fully understand. Not that I was, you know, completely opposed to it. I certainly would have been okay with several wide receivers. But I don't understand having really not touched wide receiver coming in saying this is some kind of a travesty. I mean, I'm pretty sure Watson, Romeo, Jaden Reed, Bo Melton, Dontavian Wicks, Samori Toure, Grant DuBose, Malik Heath are all still on the team. So I think that's enough. But I guess, you know, we'll probably get an undrafted free agent that's a wide receiver that can come in and get cut. So maybe that will satisfy some people. I'm not really sure.
And how the heck are you?
I'm good.
I'm, that's Nico.
Hey, Nico.
At work before all the other dum-dums opening up shop. So listen to y'all last night. It was good. I was driving around, so I couldn't really comment, but it was pretty fun listening to y'all. You know, I'm okay with the guy we got. I mean, I was thinking the only reason why I know the names that I do is because I listen to draft podcasts and hear everybody talk about Rome Dooms and you know, all these Tyler Guyton's. And I only know those names because I hear them talk about a lot. No one talked about the guy that we got that I remember. But, you know, when kind of like every Packer pick, when you hear about him, like, oh, I don't like this guy. He looks like he can pass block and run block. Yes, I am on record as saying I want bulldozers up front.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that everyone is all analytical and there's studies to prove that you have to pass the ball. I get it. But if you can run the freaking ball, especially in the second half, it's demoralizing. If you get 4 or 5 yards to carry, there's nothing you can do. You just milk that freaking clock and you just pound. Yes, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dirt. I prefer 5 yards in a cloud of dirt.
Okay.
But if a team can do that, you can't beat them. You just can't. I don't care what statistic you throw at me. You can rush 5 yards of carry in the second half. You're done. Stick a fork in the other team. And plus, you can also throw the ball a little better because we all know. I mean, there's arguments. What opens up what? Does the pass open up the run? Does the run open up the pass? You could probably skew your statistics to make it say anything you want. But if you're running, if you're just shoving the ball down the defense's throat, it is utterly demoralizing, and that's what we need to do. And then, yeah, Jordan Love and Chris Watson can just pop out a 65-yarder if he wants to. I'm okay with that. So it's going to be very interesting to see what we do in the next couple days when we have the meat of our picks. I tell you what, watching the rest of the NFC North kind of forego their entire future to do stuff this year, kind of funny. It just shows you how desperate they are because they're so afraid of us. And I've already seen so much flexing by the Vikings and Bears fans online. We're going to be the number one now. I'm like, yeah. You guys do always win the offseason. I'll give you that. So, if only that matter. So, anyways, go Pack Go. And I'm ready to crank on my coffee machine here so I can actually wake up. And y'all have a great one.
Well, not only did we get a guy that maybe could be considered a road grader, at the very least, he seems to be more promising as far as his run blocking. But let's not forget the overhaul that just took place with the running backs. I mean, A.J. Dillon is essentially our, probably, I mean, it may not be week one, but is essentially our third string running back at like 250 pounds. We've got Marshawn Lloyd, RB2, that is what, 5'10", 220? Or is he 5'8", 220? It's something absurd, but he is a little frickin' bowling ball. And then, of course, RB1, Josh Jacobs, another absolute hammer at 5'10", 223. So we've got offensive, and by the way, Zach Tom, actually a pretty good run blocker. He was, and Elgton Jenkins prior to last year, I mean, I don't know, he's struggling to kind of get his footing, but I mean, Elgton Jenkins, it used to be Elgton Jenkins and David Bakhtiari were the two guys that could pass block and run block. Then Bakhtiari went and got hurt. Elgton Jenkins got hurt and just hasn't really been himself fully. Then we go get Zach Tom. He can pass block and run block. I mean, if we can get Elgton Jenkins back and running, and we get a left tackle that can do it, we've got 3 out of 5. And then we have 3 absolute freaking hammers at running back, just smashing into the defense over and over and over again. I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see it in December and January, watching these guys just wear down defenses, just cracking into people over and over again. Seeing in the third quarter, watching them start to slip tackles as these guys start to get tired out. That's what I'm excited about. Why don't we take our final break? We will be right back, and we will hear from Jersey Mike.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, Ryan, it's Jersey Mike. Hey. So, this is about 128, day 2. Draft coming up in a little bit, you know, second, third round. Do we get the fourth round today? I don't think we do. Anyway. But when I'm thinking about Jordan Morgan, I'm watching, and so far he has beat up Latu. I'm looking at the Washington game. He's essentially erased Braylon Trice. There is one sack Trice gets, but I don't know if it's a bad rep for Morgan or a bad rep for the QB, because it looks like Morgan like gets pushed back by Trice. Trice is a good pass rusher. Me and you were high on him, really high on him.
Yeah.
I fell off on him. I don't know how you feel about him, but But Trice is a good pass rusher, and I mean, he pushes Morgan back, I'd say three feet. It almost gets to the point where I think he's in the lap of the QB, but right before that happens, Morgan anchors, and he plants pretty hard, but his dumb QB steps up into the pocket, basically allowing Trice to get past Morgan inside of him to then sack him. Or if the QB would have just stayed behind Morgan where he was and kind of went like around the pocket, outside the pocket, instead of climbing up into the pocket, man, that would have been a perfectly good rep right there. It would have been maybe a pressure, but again, Jordan Morgan's holding up against the best of the best. And I'm listening to the Paul Farrington show. He was talking about, Dallas Turner's going to eat up on Jordan Morgan. I'm sorry. I was high on Morgan before this. I think he was one of the better tackles coming out. And just now that I'm going back and rewatching some of the film against some of these best pass rushers, which is what I watched originally, I mean, it solidifies my point. And I'm kind of in agreement with Belichick and some other guys here saying that he is primarily a left tackle. What does that mean for Rashid Walker? Is Rashid Walker a guy who can flip? What position will he flip to? Also, it's really nice to hear Jordan Morgan talking about how much he models his game off of David Bakhtiari. That's insanity. Anyway, go Pack, go. Let's see what we get.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not perfect. I think the bright spot is, I mean, it's not great to see him get beat by somebody like Braylon Trice. I think the consensus that I heard about things like that is that was more of a coaching point as opposed to he's not physically able to do it. And obviously the Packers would agree with that or they wouldn't draft him. But what it does potentially point to is it's going to take some time. Not to say he's going to be so useless he won't be able to play, but he's not going to be a finished product day one. So, you know, there's going to be a little bit of potential growing pains and whatnot. Hopefully he's a fast learner. We can get him out there and just ready to rock and roll. But it sounds like there's some fine tuning that needs to be done. And there really isn't a lot of time, you know, for them to physically get their hands on this guy and teach him stuff before week one, when no doubt he'll be out there playing. So we'll see how it goes. I think the best thing we could probably do is just put him across from Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith and the rest of the gang and, you know, trial by fire this guy.
This is Aaron. You're probably getting like a million calls right now, so I'm going to try to make this short and sweet as possible. So, once we drafted, seeing all the corners fall, I didn't know what we were going to do. I figured we would do something to blow people away, and he did, and he drafted Jordan Morgan. I didn't know who he was at first, so I was like, oh, cool, Jordan Morgan. If he likes him over all these other corners that we think are great, cool. I like that. I like that Boots thinking outside of the box. But what I'm calling about is that in this, it really seems like what the other NFC North teams are trying to do is, like, I don't want to have this complex of, oh, they're just trying to beat us, but how everything's falling, the trades that the Lions made, what the Vikings are doing to try to just trade away all their picks and whatever, it kind of seems like they're just trying to beat us and get up and make sure that beating the Packers is a priority. And I could be very wrong about that, and I probably am, so, but whatever. But in Goot's presser, he's like, someone asked him along the lines of, like, hey, do you see all these other NFC North teams trading up to pick whatever these guys, and do you take that into account when you're looking to see who you draft so you can beat them or whatever? And then Goot's just like, no, I'm just trying to focus on making the best team that I possibly can. It doesn't matter what these other teams are doing. Like, I just want to make a good team. And the fact that to make the team better, Boot was completely chill, let all the other teams do whatever they were going to do, and he's just sitting there like, you know what? Jordan Morgan is my guy. Like, that's what it meant. It comes back to, like, what Ted Thompson said. I want the player. I mean, we didn't trade up. Like, but at the same time, it's just he wanted Jordan Morgan. Jordan Morgan was the dude, and it seemed like he was the dude from the very beginning that the Packers were settled on. And so it's like seeing all these corners and everyone fall. It makes me so much more excited that Goot knows what the flip he is doing. And us as fans, we don't. Because guess what? We all wanted Cooper DeJean. And guess where he is? Still at the second round. Not picked. There you go. But anyways, it's just like fans are going to lose their mind. Like, fans are going to fan, and it's just kind of annoying sometimes because it's like, he's our new player. Jordan Morgan is our new player, and I get it. He's not exactly who you want. Support him. Be thankful that you have a guy, right? Instead of going out on social media and trying to hate him, because what kind of look does that give you? You didn't get the guy that you wanted. So flipping what, dude? Like, support Jordan Morgan. I'm not talking to you, Ryan, but...
He called back about 10 minutes later. Let's see if this is a continuation or not.
Brian, give it a quick call back because I know there's one little quick thought that I had. So this first round was really, really weird, in case you hadn't noticed. And there was a lot of, like, this is why I don't go on Twitter stuff. But anyways, a lot of people would post their mocks that were not even close to as crazy as this one was. And people would get ridiculed and trolled and brutally, like, attacked on social media because they're like, oh, you idiot, that draft would never happen. And so it got me thinking, if someone took, flash forward today, but, like, took it to, like, a week ago and posted this draft, that real draft that actually happened, and posted it as a mock draft, they would have probably got lit up to no end. And it just goes to show that nobody knows a flipping thing. We really don't. Everybody's board's different. Some GMs are smarter than others. Some GMs are not. Some teams are more desperate than others. Some teams aren't. And you literally, until the draft happens, nobody ever knows. And that's why it's just like people need to calm down and be like, just accept mock drafts or whatever for what it is. And I don't know. I'm really excited about this prospect and how things turned out because there's still a lot of talent left on the board. That is very, very surprising that it's still there. So I'm excited to see what Judah Kunst is going to do with whatever we've got. I won't be able to come to your stream tonight, sadly. I got to go to school performance of some stuff. So, anyway, good luck in round two. Have fun on the screen tonight. I'll catch y'all on the flippity flip.
Yeah, man, I mean, you know, again, I'm just kind of talking in circles here, but we don't know how things are going to pan out. And you have very limited options on how you can handle things. Number one, you can pretend you know how things are going to pan out, which is what Twitter is all about right now. People are mad at me about my Bears take because I'm supposed to assume that their first two picks are going to be the greatest in history. They got a punter that's going to be the greatest punter in history. They got a quarterback that's going to be the greatest quarterback in history. And they got a wide receiver that's going to be the greatest wide receiver in history. And to pretend that isn't going to happen is impossible. It's just the most psychotic thing in the world. Right? It's impossible that's it. I'm sorry. I have a memory that goes beyond 5 minutes. Has anybody ever heard of Kevin White or Trubisky or Fields or Darnell Wright? I don't give a crap how high these guys were on their consensus big board rankings or what all the draft analysts and experts said, because it's the same idiot experts that told me Darnell Wright was an elite tackle, that told me that Trubisky was going to be a franchise quarterback, that said Fields was going to be... I had people telling me Fields was going to be a franchise quarterback after 3 years of him playing like a giant butt sack. These people are morons, and I don't give a crap. How about that? So yeah, you can pretend you know everything and pretend either you know that everything's great or everything's awful, or you can acknowledge that we don't know, and then you have two options. You can say, I don't know, but I hate it and I'm going to be pissed and miserable. Or you can say, I don't know, but I'm going to focus on the positive. I'm going to get excited because it's the off season and there's no reason to do anything else. That's where most of us live. We get excited. Not because I know somebody's going to be great, but because for now I choose to believe it. Because you know what? This is a new game.
We played a game before. It was called the draft game. We did mock drafts. We did fake scouting. We pretended we knew stuff. We got our rankings and our spreadsheets, and we did all this cool stuff, and we played a game. And then when the draft starts, that game stops. Most of us forget that the game stops, but in reality, the game stops. And there's a new reality that takes place, and that is actual real physical football teams with actual real physical human beings that do this for a living draft actual real human beings, not robots on the PFF, you know, mock draft simulator. And these real live human beings go to, you know, meet the teams and practice and learn and grow and do all that kind of stuff. And at that point, we play a new game. And the new game is we envision this great utopia where we take all of last year's players and we assume that everybody that left was a bum and dead weight and everybody that we added is going to make our team so much better and all of our players are going to get another year better and all the new coaches are going to make everybody better and all the new draft picks are going to make everybody better and then we're going to win the Super Bowl. And we talk about that for the entire offseason. And then that game ends when the regular season starts, when real physical human beings play real physical human being football that has scores. And those scores are absolute. They're not hypothetical. They're not theoretical. When one score is higher than the other, that team wins. That's more or less how this all works. And there's way too many people who take these fun little games that we play, and they take them too seriously, and they believe that we actually know what's going on. And we're going to tell everybody that we know what's going on. And we know which players are going to be great and which players are going to be busts. And now I have to sit here and listen to Packer fans yell at me that you know Caleb is going to be great. And you know Romo Dunzia is going to be great. And you, if you weren't an idiot, you would know that that punter was going to be great. And by the way, Packer fans are also telling me that you know that Jordan Morgan was a terrible pick. And you know that he was a reach. I'm just so sick of these complete insufferable scumbags. I don't know any of that, and neither do you. And it took me 5 seconds to think of examples where you're wrong. It happens every year. It happens all the time. You need an example of a time when the Packers drafted somebody that wasn't who you wanted and it ended up working out. That's not hard to do. And if you can't think of an example, that's sad. You want me to think of a time when the Bears drafted really high and I was told that this was going to be a great pick and then it wasn't? Oh, I don't know. That's pretty much everybody ever that they've drafted in history. I got Bill Belichick on TV watching game film of this generational talent, the greatest quarterback that has ever come out of college football, which isn't even close to being true, but we suddenly have to pretend that it is. And he's ripping the guy apart about having terrible footwork and terrible fundamentals and, you know, he holds onto the ball too long and he doesn't process or see the field very well and all this stuff. But yeah, I got to sit here and pretend that I know that everything's... Just shut up, dude. I don't have to pretend nothing. I can pretend whatever I want to pretend. I can pretend the Packers are going to be great and the Bears are going to be bad. And you're going to sit there and say, well, then you don't know ball. It's funny because I'm not even really being serious. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just pretending, but at least I know I'm pretending. You're arguing with me because you're saying that I don't know ball if I don't agree that the Bears are amazing and the Packers were stupid. And you actually believe this. That's shocking. This isn't a ball knowing thing. The only intelligence test here isn't how you feel about these players. It's whether you believe that you actually know what you're saying or not. If you think you know with certainty what you're saying, you failed the intelligence test. You lose. Sorry, you stay back a grade. See you next year at the draft. Because guess what? We might have a 7th round pick that ends up better than a 2nd round pick. That's not impossible. In fact, it's happened. You could argue we have one, with Rashid Walker looking better than Josh Myers, for example. And maybe Oladapo is better than Bullard. And maybe McDuffie's going to be better than Edgerrin Cooper. I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe Xavier McKinney's going to be a pile of dog crap. I don't know. But if one more person tells me that the level of my ball-knowing intelligence comes down to whether or not I will agree with this opinion that's been force-fed to you by the people on the TV that tell you what you want to believe, I don't know how much more of that I can handle. Anyways, I'm going to go. You all have a great rest of your day. I will talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one. Goodbye.
Through the whispers of the cheesehead crowd, in a basement light, the air was proud. A hum, a strum, an unseen stage. A little cricket became the rage each time the Packers would speak of the game. That cricket would chirp, seeking its fate. And the listeners sighed and paused to hear as the chirping filled the space. Cricket, where are you? Whispering through the sacred place. Cricket, where are you? Your song cuts through the green bay fray. In the quiet of the podcast breaks, tiny troubadour, no mistakes. Legends say it knew the score. Each chirp a tale of Packers lore. Banter stopped when it would start. Chirping rhythms, tiny heart. Cricket, where are you? Echoing past the field of dreams. Cricket, where are you? In every win and loss, it seems. Through the lore of green and gold, this tiny singer, brave and bold, keeps chirping on both young and old, a guardian of stories told.